Well, let's start with COVID because it's certainly on everybody's mind. What is the plan? What's the latest on COVID? What's the plan to get everybody vaccinated in Ottawa?
Well, we're very pleased that, you know, we were one of two centres that were chosen to be distribution centres a week ago, Toronto and Ottawa. And obviously I lobbied for that because we have a very good distribution network here through our hospital system. So I was pleased that the province made the decision to send us exactly half of the doses that they received, 3,000, which will be used by 1,500 frontline healthcare workers in long-term care homes. So that's good news. We're waiting for the next batch and the other companies that don't require the deep freezing, which will be easier for us to distribute. Right now, everyone has to come to the Civic to get their vaccination for COVID because you can't move the vials after they've been delivered to the hospital.
Right.
And from a the holiday point of view, we're urging people to please remain vigilant, even though this is good news to have the vaccination here. We've got 1,500 people that will be vaccinated within the next week in a population of 1 million. So we have a long way to go and we shouldn't let our guard down.
What about you? When do you plan to get the shot or how does that work? Not that you would jump the line because you're the mayor, but when do you plan to get it? Dave.
Wow, Dave.
Yeah, that's ageism. Come on. I'm still the youngest mayor in Ottawa's history.
God, we haven't even started yet. Okay.
You are wearing the glasses and you don't need to.
That's true. I don't. No, just to read I do. But I have no idea. I'll be very much near the end of the line because they want to get all of the healthcare workers, senior citizens, and then there'll be a system in place. But I'm not jumping any line and certainly not asking for preferential treatment. But, at the end of the day, we want to make sure everyone who's eligible gets vaccinated so that we can put an end to what's been a really, really horrible year for thousands of our fellow citizens.
And one that we don't really know where the end is to this, but I think looking back, what is the one thing that you wish that we did differently in the city of Ottawa that you could change and say, okay, we could have done it this way?
Yeah, I think two things come to mind. One is we should have started the testing centers off with an appointment system as opposed to just show up at Brewer, because we had people with kids lining up for 6 or 7 hours. It was not very efficient or helpful. And I think we probably should have had more testing centers, you know, in the east, west, and south right at the start, as opposed to trying to get everyone to go to Brewer for the first couple of weeks. And then the second thing would be, I think we tried to be helpful through education and not ticketing people, you know, in terms of enforcement of the bylaws and the Ontario laws. And we probably should have been ticketing people more than just warning them to send a really clear signal that, I'm sorry, you're not getting on this bus or this train, or you can't have 50 people in the backyard for a cake party. You're going to get a ticket. And tickets sting, but they work.
Did we realize that some people just need to be yelled at?
Well, you know, some people are, you know, we're just acting as, you know, I think the premier called them yahoos. You know, we're in the midst of the worst health crisis in the world in our generation since really the Spanish flu in the 1900s. And you still had people, you know, going ahead with weddings, going ahead with bachelor parties, cake parties, and so on. People illegally opening their barber shops when we were in lockdown. And, they're not only putting themselves at risk, but more importantly, they're putting their loved ones at risk by, you know, being in a crowd and possibly contracting COVID-19 and then going back home to visit their grandparents or visit their parents and their siblings and putting them at risk.
Switching gears a little bit, a year ago, the only story was the LRT. How's that going?
Well, it's going much better than the first year. You know, I think the one positive thing that's come out of COVID that I can say with some certainty is the fact that we had a significant reduction in ridership, obviously, because people are working from home. Many people lost their jobs. And that allowed us to do two things. One, for those people who still needed to use transit, the 30%, the 30-35% that were still using it, could properly socially distance because they weren't crammed into a bus or a train. And secondly, it gave RTM and RTG a real opportunity to get to the root cause of four or five buckets of issues that for all intents and purposes, they've gone through and the system is in much better shape. I think it was operating last month at 98 or 99% on time, which is very good. Now, we had, I think, you know, a month ago, there was a deer on the track. So that shuts the system down. But the things like that, you can't always control. But from a mechanical point of view, we're in much better shape. Never perfect. I noticed the TTC is down for 10 days, one of their subway lines for maintenance during the COVID. So, you know, we're following suit with a system that's been up and running for, in their case, I think 75 years. We've got a year's experience.
And the construction on the new line, what's the update on that?
It's actually going very well. In the last month, I visited the East End, West End, and South End extensions. All are on schedule. Some are ahead of schedule. You notice the work, for instance, you go out the Airport Parkway, the bridges over the parkway for the rail, which are coming along nicely. In the East End, on the 174, the most of the train will go in the middle of the highway between the eastbound and westbound 174. And then in the West End, we've got the maintenance facility that's going to be constructed out by Wesley Clover Park. I notice, I live in the West End, you see Byron Avenue all dug up. That's where the train will be going, under Byron Avenue all the way to Moody Drive. So it's coming along nicely.
The construction is impressive. Like, for when you don't go to those areas of the city all the time and you happen to go out that way after a couple of months, you wonder what's going on.
Yeah, we went out to in the South End to see the storage facility for the trains out there, because as you know, the South End, which is the Trillium line, it is using diesel versus the rest of the system is electricity. And they've built this massive maintenance facility off Walkley Road in the South End of the city. So we're going to have a maintenance facility, the main one at OC Transpo on Belfast, another one for the electric LRT out by Moody Drive along the Queensway, and then for the diesel vehicles, it'll be in the South End at Walkley. So it's coming along really nicely, and you're quite right, Dave. When people come to that part of the city they hadn't been to in a while, they wonder, wow, there's a lot of work going on. And one of the things that's really worked well for us is that we worked with the province to ensure that major construction projects could continue even during the pandemic, as long as they're done safely. And that's created a lot of jobs. You know, LRT Phase 2, I think, is about 22,000 person years of work. So there's about 1,400 people working on LRT in construction right now as we speak.
When we do talk about construction, obviously the LRT is a huge one. What's another big project that's going on in Ottawa? You know, we heard or saw in the newspaper today how the Melnick lawsuit about Le Breton Flats and all that stuff is still on hold. What's another big project going on in the city?
Well, there's a couple, and one ties in with Le Breton Flats. It's the library, the new library. As you know, we've chosen an architect, and they've given us the design. It's really quite a spectacular one of these buildings. You'll say, wow, this is pretty amazing. And it will, in essence, be the first project on the Le Breton site, because it is part of Le Breton along Scott Street, just across from the Good Companion Center, and it's very close. It's within walking distance of the Pimisi LRT station, so people will be able to reach the main branch by coming in on LRT that lets you off. Basically, I think it's a 3-minute walk from the station to the library. So that's a big project that will help to kickstart Le Breton. We also have a lot of different road projects, you know, that have to get built and revamped. You know, our winters have been really brutal on a lot of our roads, which has been bad for cyclists as well as for automobiles. And so you'll see a lot more construction on roads over the course of the next year. There are not a lot of large projects. We went through a period where we created the Innovation Center at Bayview Yards. We built the new Ottawa Art Gallery. We built recreation centers in Kanata, Cumberland, and Barrhaven. And we've got the new library. That's a big project. Another one that's down in that area is repurposing the Prince of Wales Bridge to make it a pedestrian and cycling bridge that will connect Ottawa and Gatineau.
I just want to jump in on the construction vein there, because I know in the past when we've talked to you, certainly pre-COVID, your line was always, it's best to build up than out. Obviously, a lot of people are reconsidering their desire to live up post-COVID as we try to socially distance ourselves. A lot of building projects have decided to cancel. And of course, at the same time, we're also seeing a huge dearth in the amount of rental properties in Ottawa, and people need to be able to rent as opposed to just own. What's the city's line on being able to provide more places, perhaps in a post-COVID in a post-COVID world?
Well, interestingly, you mentioned that, Andrew, because in fact, building permits are up this time compared to this time last year. Okay. I wouldn't have thought that, but in fact, there are more building permits and the value of the building permits is higher than it was a year ago, because Ottawa is still very much a city in demand. People want to move here. I saw a story on the news the other night where, you know, there's bidding wars going on. The first time we've seen that in a long time, where more than one person is bidding on a house. And that is creating competition and is creating prices that are going up, which is good for the seller, not so great for the buyer. But at the same time, we've got a situation where people, you know, I've run into now, I think, three or four different couples who just meeting them on the street or at the mall have said that they moved to Ottawa because they can sell their $1.5 million house, get a similar house for probably $700,000 here and bank the rest for their retirement. So, you know, Ottawa's a growing city and we're seeing more apartments going up in the central core as opposed to just condominiums, which is not a bad thing because people sometimes just want to rent and have that flexibility. But, you know, the big challenge we'll have in the next couple of years is making sure that people come back to the core to live and to work so that we get our transit ridership numbers up. And all of the people that work, whether it's at Shopify or the federal government, they were the customer base for these restaurants on Elgin Street and the Byward Market on Bank Street. And when they've been working from home, those businesses have really suffered. So we need to revitalize
everyone going to fill that building. Shopify is not coming back, so I don't know who's going to fill that building. I mean, that is
no, but they're keeping the old EDC building. They're keeping that, which I think is five or six floors. And, you know, I think, you know, the initial novelty of working from home, you know, has worn off for a lot of people. I have a lot of friends who say like they're now feeling so isolated because, mm-hmm. you know, it's fun to wear your PJs and, you know, operate from your kitchen table for a few months. It's now been 9 months and there's no social interaction. There's no ability to sort of bounce ideas off one another. It's all about Zoom. And I was telling someone, I said, I'm going to have to get my eyes checked because I spend all day on Zoom calls. And then I go home at night and watch Netflix. There's just not a lot to do. So I think ophthalmologists are going to be very busy in the next couple of years as people, you know, realize they've been straining their eyes on computer screens and Zoom screens and so on.
When you do talk about that, let's look at the year end a little bit and things that you watch or you know that everyone is watching that type of stuff. Dave, start with the year end stuff.
Yeah, let's bang off our year end question. So what for you, Mr. Mayor, was the most overlooked story of the year?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, you've caught me off guard. I can't think of anything because so many things, you know, we had the Rick Shirelli story that was well reported. We've had LRT. We've had obviously COVID first and foremost. I can't really think of something that's been overlooked. I think COVID has overwhelmed the coverage, that's for sure. But the reality is that, you know, a lot of things just didn't happen because of COVID. You know, we lost a lot of big conventions and the economic hit to the tourism industry. Yeah. I think maybe that's one story that's been overlooked. It's hurt. It was the first one to really be affected, hotels and so on. Mm-hmm. And it'll be probably the toughest to get back because people will be reluctant to travel. And it's our third largest industry in Ottawa, tourism.
I think about people not being able to gather, but something that they did push against the rules and gather for anyways were quite a few protests that happened in the city. Do a couple of those stand out for you?
Yeah, you know, certainly the Black Lives Matter rally on Parliament Hill. I went to that and I was actually very impressed that the vast majority of people on the Hill, at least when I was there, were trying their best to social distance, you know, and I think that was a credit to the organizers.
Yeah, I ran into you there. I was...
That's right.
Yeah. I was standing behind you. I was like, well, that looks like the mayor. Oh, no, it is.
Just running into Dave and the mayor.
During a year that we're not really meeting a lot of people and going to all the events, especially that you would go to, who is one of the most amazing people or who's the most amazing person, I guess, that you met this year, that you hung out with this year, distant?
Well, you know, probably Dr. Vera Etches. You know, I speak with her on a either daily or every second day we have a conference call, and I've been very impressed with her calm, steady approach, her compassion. You know, from a professional point of view, I think she's been someone I've been very impressed with. And I think, you know, you hear stories about, you know, individuals who have done really remarkable things, like, you know, Chef Joe from the Coconut Lagoon. His restaurant burnt down on Montreal Road, and yet he still goes and switches his business to his other restaurant on Laurier Avenue and prepares hundreds of meals for low-income and vulnerable people in our population living in motels to provide them with a healthy, good, hot meal. You know, that's a pretty remarkable story. The guy's, you know, lost his restaurant, still has another one, shifts the volunteer work that he's been doing to prepare meals for the less fortunate. You know, those kinds of stories, you know, warm your heart, make you feel very proud to be a resident of Ottawa.
What's the biggest thing that you miss this year? I think everyone can pick something that they miss and can't wait to get back to. What is it for you?
Church bazaars. I miss church bazaars.
What?
And get it. Wow. Oh, yeah. This is where I get all my cooking, my baking for Christmas. My freezer is empty. No shortbread or gingerbread or anything. And I love going to them because it supports the churches. But there's also, you run into hundreds of people, and people are in a good mood. They're supporting a good cause. And, you know, our churches have acted as a real social safety net for a lot of our homeless and vulnerable people. They offer, you know, meals for people to go in. And a lot of that has had to be canceled because they didn't have the money from the church bazaar, and they don't want to operate, you know, outside of the health laws. So doing that, you know, going to a movie, like a big screen movie. I love going to see movies at Cineplex, and they still aren't open. So hopefully if we get into the next color on the color code, we'll be able to open up the cinemas.
If you had one Christmas wish this year, what would it be? If you could get it granted?
Oh, to see the end of COVID-19. You know, it's been sort of on everyone's mind. And, you know, I have not had a family member affected by COVID-19, but I know that close to 400 people in our city have lost loved ones. We've lost close to 400 people, and thousands have been inflicted. And also, you know, the healthcare workers, you know, they've been working literally around the clock. And, you know, we complain if we have to wear a mask for, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. They're wearing it for a 12-hour shift, which is not pleasant. So I think they've been, you know, a godsend, the personal support workers in long-term care homes. It's been a real challenge on that profession. But, you know, as I said, Ottawa is probably right now the best large city in Canada in terms of the number of cases. I think today we had 40. 2 days ago we had 13. So we haven't had triple digits in a couple of months, which is good. But we can't let up, and we can't do a victory dance now because, you know, it's still very fragile. The last, you know, we could have one super spreader event, a bunch of yahoos get together and have, you know, 50 people at a house party. And we're back to triple digits, and we want to make sure that doesn't happen until everyone is vaccinated and we get rid of this thing.
What's the best Christmas gift you ever received?
Trying to think. I can't really think of one. Like, you know, when I was skiing, I used to ski a lot. When I'd get a new pair of skis, that was always a big deal for me, to get new skis and ski boots from my parents. I was never given a car or anything like that. It was so the skis and ski boots, probably, because I grew up in the Laurentians in Quebec skiing.
Great.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, we need to get Christmas advice from the mayor for a Christmas like this year. Is there something you can think of off the top of your head, like for Christmas, a COVID Christmas? It's going to be very different this year. What's your advice?
Well, you know, it's Dave normally writes my material, so I'm at a loss loss for words. But maybe in 2021 until COVID is behind us, the party advice is party like it's 2020.
There is a whole team of people. There is a whole team of people that writes it.
That's perfect. I love that advice too. It's just because this whole year we've been saying, oh, what are you doing? You're getting together like it's 2019. And your party is party like it's 2020, which is bad.
Be safe. So. I know.
What are you doing for Christmas turkey this year?
I'm going to my sister's house. So she is cooking, one of her daughters is coming in from the States, so she'll self-isolate at her home for 2 weeks, and then my other niece comes in from Toronto, and her husband, so it'll be the five of us. And I know the message is, you know, stay within your family who lives in your home, but Dr. Etches has also made exceptions for people who live on their own, like me. So I get to go and visit my family, and that'll be fun. But the rest of the time, it's not a whole lot of anything, to be honest. You know, I used to go to 15 or 16 events on a weekend, different charity events and so on. The weekends were like a second job. Now it's it's really boring. I've seen so many bad Jean-Claude Van Damme movies on Netflix.
I was going to say, what is the best thing you've watched this year?
Double Impact. Say it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Like, I watched a couple of. I watched the movie about that head of the International Monetary Fund that was accused of raping. Attendant at a new name, Carl, or he was going to run for president of France.
Kahn, what's his name?
Strauss Kahn. Anyways, you see, there's a combination of some interesting documentaries and then some movies that I've watched all the Mission Impossible movies now three times.
Me too. I watched them too.
I like those kind of movies, but I need more new material, and I'm too cheap to get anything above and beyond Netflix. Everyone says you should get Crave and HBO.
It's nice to know that both you and Tom Cruise do your own stunts. So.
And we have the same birthday too, July 30th.
Oh my gosh. Are you Scientology or?
Presbyterian.
You know, the other people are socially distant. So there you go.
That's right.